All right. I failed to mention a minute ago, we're really glad to have Sarah Duvall back with us. She's been sick for a while and thankful that she's able to be up and about enough to be here in church. I tell you, if you don't appreciate the distance they drive, you need to go see them occasionally because they drive a long way to be here. And I appreciate their faithfulness to the work here and to the church. Love them in the Lord and appreciate the great distance they drive. All right, if you would this morning, turn to Psalms 100. Psalms 100, and I want to read this psalm, a very familiar and beloved psalm, and kind of use this as a starting point for the message this morning. In Psalms 100, just five short verses there. Psalms 100, verse 1. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting and His truth endureth to all generations. Now there's a lot of things in there that you obviously could make application to the doctrine for us today, but I just wanted to borrow one verse from here in using it to begin the message this morning. That's verse 2. Serve the Lord with gladness. It doesn't make any difference in your Bible when it was that God is dealing with men in different ways, whether it be back in the garden, whether it be in the day of Noah, whether it be in the day of Moses, whether it be in the coming of Christ, or whether it be in the revelation of mystery, God has always instructed and desired for His people to serve Him. He said, serve the Lord with gladness. And in this particular instance, the psalmist gives the reason down in verse 5. For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations. I want to talk to you this morning about serving the Lord. And I want to talk to you about that in relation to what the Bible says about serving the Lord in contrast to what most of the time people think in their mind in relation to serving the Lord. It's a phrase that you hear almost continually, particularly among religious people. And people will many times make a statement of so-and-so is serving the Lord, or we get an idea that we're serving the Lord. And I want us to look at the Scriptures and see what it really is to serve the Lord. You know, the Apostle Paul, in his epistles, and particularly in 2 Timothy, let's turn over to 2 Timothy. The Apostle Paul equates that, the life of the minister of Jesus Christ, and also, I believe, the saints of God, to several different types of people, if you will. For example, in 2 Timothy chapter 2, let's read there in verse 1. He says, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who should be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully. The husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. Now right there in that passage, the Apostle Paul uses as an example of the believers, number one, a soldier. Number two, a soldier that is a warrior. Number three, an athlete. And number four, the husbandman, or that would be a farmer. The husbandman is like an overseer of a farming operation. So the farmer there would be there as well. Those four things. In addition to that, Paul talks about us being workmen. And so all through the Scriptures, there's an indication that God desires for those that are saved to be involved in doing some work. As a matter of fact, Ephesians 2:10, we are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works. So the question comes up, what does it really mean to serve the Lord? Now, people will generally look at pastors and teachers and that kind of thing, and they'll think about them as far as being the servants of the Lord, which is right that they are. You hear people talk about preachers being in full-time Christian service. Well, I want you to understand this morning that God Almighty not only desires for the preacher and the pastor, the teacher, or whoever it might be to serve Him, He desires for all members of the body of Christ to be actively involved in serving the Lord. And if we are going to serve the Lord, then we have to know what our function is. We have to know how we can serve Him, how we go about that. You see, many times people just kind of put serving the Lord in a box, separate from living their life on a daily basis. And so they say, okay, I've got to get up and go to work. I've got to make a living. When I get off in the afternoon, I need some time for recreation and self-enjoyment. And maybe there'll be time somewhere along the way to serve the Lord. And people say, well, I'll do that on Sunday. I'll go to Sunday school. I'll go to church. If I have an opportunity, I'll witness somebody. I want you to see and understand today, folks, that your whole life should be centered around serving the Lord, and you do that by being obedient to the Word of God. For example, a woman that stays home and takes care of her kids is serving the Lord. A woman that has to go out and that perhaps doesn't have a husband has to go out and work a job. You see, Paul said that if you don't work, neither should you eat. There are so many practical instructions in the Bible in relation to what we're to do in relation to our family and our position as members of the body of Christ. And regardless of what it is, if it's according to the Scriptures, if you're being obedient to the Word of God, then you are serving the Lord. That's what service is all about, is being obedient. Now, you see, the problem with that is people want to do the things that appear glorious, that seem, somehow extraordinary. I was thinking about that this morning, these four positions here. You know, you've got the soldier, a dangerous job, a job that definitely requires training and instruction and discipline. You've got the warrior, the soldier going into battle, into warfare. You've got the athlete there. And then you've got the farmer. Now, you know, God doesn't waste words, and He doesn't just put things in the Bible just to for His own amusement. There's a reason that all four of those are listed there. Yesterday, I watched probably an inordinate amount of football. And I'll do that the first couple of 3 weeks of the football season, and then it'll kind of taper off just a little bit. But yesterday, there were some games on, and one of them was up in Knoxville. There was over 100,000 people that turned out. They drove up there. They drove there, found a parking place, walked a mile or two to the stadium, paid good money to go in there to watch athletes perform. Up in Michigan, they were playing Notre Dame. There was over 110,000 people at that game. They did the same thing. Last night, Ohio State was playing USC. Again, over 110,000 people there watching those athletes. Wonder how many you could get to go out and watch a farmer plow a field. How about you advertise, hey, we're going to have some tractor competition, we're going to have some plowing competition over here, and we're going to sell tickets to that. You wouldn't make much money, would you? But did you notice that in the Scriptures, In one verse, he talks about the athlete striving for the mastery, and in the next verse, he talks about the farmer and uses it in relation to serving the Lord. You see, folks, serving the Lord isn't always about doing that which is attractive, that which is popular, that which is brings the praise of men and the cheers and so forth. It's about obedience to the Word of God. And in every one of these positions, there are certain things, there's a commonality between each one of these things that are mentioned here in 2 Timothy chapter 2. As I said, first of all, he mentions the soldier there. He says in 2 Timothy 2, 3, Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. In that particular instance, the service for the Lord, there's instruction there in relation to the challenges of serving. And that is, he says, a soldier has to endure hardness. I was never in the military. I tried to join when I was a young man, was turned down for some physical reasons. But I've talked to and known many people. My dad spent 30 years in the military. And I know that there are times when men sleep on the ground, they sleep in water, they sleep in miserable conditions. Over there in Afghanistan right now, no people that are there personally. Iraq, the conditions are absolutely miserable. They endure hardness in order to accomplish the task that's been set before. You know what that tells me, folks? The life of the Christian life is not simply a life of ease. It's not a life of all enjoyment. We enjoy one another. We can enjoy life. But there is some hardness if you're going to serve the Lord. There's some obstacles. There's some things you've got to put up with. And in verse 4, he addresses that. He said, no man that warreth. You know, not all soldiers end up in warfare. There are the support soldiers that provide backup. They provide technical support and that kind of thing. They don't all go to the front lines, and they're not all in harm's way. But there are soldiers that are trained to go out and participate in warfare. And so he says there in verse 4, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. When that soldier's out there engaged in that battle, he doesn't have the opportunity or the time to take time off and do the things that you and I do on a regular basis that we take for granted. His life is dedicated. He is trained for that purpose. And that's where his focus has to be. And if not, it can result in not only the death of himself, but of those that depend upon him. They're in warfare. So a soldier is to endure hardness, and he that warreth is not to entangle himself with the affairs of this life. And one of the things that hinders us from serving the Lord most of the time are the affairs of this life. We get so involved in our life that we forget about the life that we have in Christ Jesus and our responsibility of serving the Lord. So he mentions there the soldier and the warrior. And in Ephesians 6, we don't have to turn there, you're familiar. He said to put on the whole armor of God that you might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And having done all to stand therefore. And then he goes through and he identifies all the elements of armor there that need to be put on. Then you get down to verse 5. And he said, if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully. Hold on here and look back to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, there's the warfare that's involved in the Christian life, the service. There's then the use there of the athlete, and that's spoken of again in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians 9. Notice there in verse 24. 1 Corinthians 9:24. Know ye not that they which run a race run all, but one receiveth the prize, so run that you may obtain. And everyone that striveth for the mastery, notice, is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. So the mark of an athlete, the mark of a soldier, is to endure hardness and not to be entangled with the affairs of this life. The instruction for the athlete is that they are to be temperate in all things so that they might run this race that's been set before. That's what he says there in verse 5 back in 2 Timothy. Hold on to 1 Corinthians 9, but back in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5, if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned except he strive lawfully. In other words, a man that is striving for the crown, the masteries, is to do things in accordance with the rules of the game. Every sport that you can find or ever watch, there are rules and regulations governing that event. And if you don't operate within the guidelines, then you're going to end up penalized. And sometimes it costs you the contest because you were not able to operate within the guidelines that's been set forth. And I've used that illustration time and again about when I used to swim. And I was the slowest one in the breaststroke, but there was a particular way that you had to do it. You could not kick and stroke at the same time. And I was taught to do it, and there were six people in the race, and I came in last, but the first five got disqualified. And so I won the prize. I got the ribbon. I got the trophy. Because, folks, you've got to do it lawfully. And that's, we're going to talk about that in a moment. Then in verse 6 there of 2 Timothy, he says, the husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. Go back to 1 Corinthians 9 again. Because again, this is spoken of in 1 Corinthians 9. Paul is speaking of his own ministry, and he says there in verse 10, or saith he it altogether for our sakes? For our sakes, no doubt that it is written that he that ploweth should plow in hope, and he that thresheth in hope should be partaker of his hope. If we have sown unto you spiritual things, it is a great thing if we shall reap your carnal things. What is spoken of there is the farmer doing that which he does, and as a result of his faithfulness, the Bible says he is the first partaker of the fruits. That is, that which is produced, that which is brought forth. He partakes of that, and it sustains him. Now, what is the common thread in all this? Well, go back to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. After Paul goes through these areas of life, or these illustrations of life, the next verse is verse 7. He says, consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ, the seed of David, was raised from the dead according to my gospel. Look down in verse 14. Further instruction to Timothy. Of these things, put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Now notice verse 15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You see, in the context of all that Paul has said in relation to service there, the soldier that becomes a warrior, the athlete, the husbandman, the farmer, if you will, they're all are workers. They're all of those things involve labor. They involve exerting energy, making an effort. And when you get down to verse 15, he said, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. That workman would fit all of those categories, and in order to perform that task that's been set before them, they have to run the race lawfully. They have to do it according to the rules. And the rules, in our case, are the Word of God. They are the instructions that we have received from the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul wrote to the Corinthians, he said, if any man be spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. So we've got a whole bunch of commandments. We've got a lot of instructions in regard to how we should live, what we should do, and how we should perform. And Paul says that the only way we're going to be able to do that, number one, is study. Study to show thyself approved unto God. You know, every one of these areas require intense instruction and study. Why, every job that I ever did, I had to study in order to learn how to perform that job. In some cases, there was much study that was done. You think about a man that goes into the medical, a man that becomes a doctor. Think of the number of years that man goes to school and studies the human body and all things related to that, he might be able to render medical care. Study to show thyself approved unto God. So the first thing that we have to do in order to be a servant of God that is pleasing to the Lord, so that we can serve the Lord with gladness, there's preparation. And you see, today, the religious system in general is not preparing men, and preachers in particular, to teach people how to serve the Lord. What they are taught is how to serve a particular system. They'll tell you that you ought to attend church, and there's nothing wrong with attending church. But they get people so involved in doing things that are church-related that the church becomes more important than the work of the ministry of preaching and teaching the truth. So he said, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman. A workman. So there's preparation. There's performance. And that performance has to do with being that workman. Now, this is where it comes down to where the rubber really meets the road. Go back, if you will, to Colossians. Colossians in chapter 2. I'm sorry, Colossians 3. Colossians 3. Look in verse 16. Colossians 3:16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Now here's the purpose. Teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. Now notice the next verse. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. You see the verse there? Whatsoever you do, there's action involved. You're the servant of the Lord. You're the soldier. You're the warrior. You're the athlete. Maybe you're the farmer. But regardless, he said, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. You know what workmen do? Workmen do things. They participate in activity. They don't just sit down and do nothing. Every time I drive by a work crew, I was driving down the road the other day and they had a sign out and I had to go, change lanes and go real slow, and you get up there, and usually there's three guys standing there watching one or two others work. And I thought, it would be a real cost savings if the guys that were bossing would help. Just participate a little bit. You got people doing the activity, other people just standing there watching. Or, that's the way it is sometimes with us. We want everybody else to do the work while we just stand around and watch. Well, if you drive by there, you wouldn't say, look at those five workmen. I'd say, look at those two workmen. You got three observers, two working. So are you an observer or are you a worker? Are you an observer or are you a workman striving to do what God has told you to do for the benefit of Christ, the body of Christ, and yourself. Now, what's interesting about this are the next four or five verses in the context of whatsoever you do, do it in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Verse 18, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. That's a good work. That takes servitude. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. That's a good work. You see, the world is not going to teach you to do those things. So what do? You study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, and determine in your heart and mind that you're going to obey the word of God rather than the words of man. Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. You young people, you know how God desires for you to serve the Lord? Is by being obedient to your parents. It starts right there. Say, well, I'm too young to serve the Lord. No, you can be obedient to the Word of God by obeying your parents. Sir, he said, children, obey your parents in all things. Why? This is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Why do we serve? That we might be pleasing unto the One that saved us. That our life might be pleasing. Verse 21, fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. Now notice, and whatsoever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not unto men. When you get up in the morning and you just dread going to work, for those of you that aren't retired, you just dread crawling out of bed, get up and go to work just like you're doing it for the Lord. You see, if the Bible says that a man should work and provide for his own, then that's serving the Lord. That is serving the Lord for you to go out and provide for your family by laboring at a job that you may hate, despise, and so forth. Sometimes, you know, you get a job that you can enjoy, but that's not really the issue. The issue is you've got an instruction. You've got information that tells you what you ought to do. And it applies to husbands and wives, fathers and mothers, children, and he even extended it to servants. And he says, whatsoever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not unto men. You know, if you do things for the praise of people, you're going to get weary real quick. If you do things for Christ's sake, you can count on 1 Corinthians 15:54, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. That's the only thing that I believe. Well, I know in my particular case, I can give you a personal testimony, that is the only thing that sustains me when I just get tired of preaching, teaching, doing that which God's called me to do. They say, well, you never get tired of that. Yeah, I get tired of it. I love doing it. But there's times when I shouldn't tell you that. Y'all gonna think bad of me. There's times I'd just rather stay home, folks. There, I said it. You know why? Because I got flesh. And the flesh rebels against the Spirit. They're contrary one to the other. But you know what pushes me forward? Not for the pats on the back and the accolades of man. I mean, you enjoy any preacher, any teacher, any person wants to hear you did a good job, wants to hear that what you're doing is a benefit to them. That's a wonderful thing. But you see, if you do it for the accolades of mankind, when mankind no longer gives you the accolades, where's your motivation? If you're doing it for Christ's sake, He never changes. The instruction never changes. And the benefit of it never changes. So if we're doing it for Christ's sake, if we're doing it as unto the Lord, then there's always that knowledge and that understanding that God is well pleased when we're faithful to Him. You see, a wife that submits herself to her husband, and it becomes very difficult because he doesn't respond in kind and he doesn't love and nurture her, that becomes almost unbearable. And I've heard women tell me when I've preached on that subject in the past that you just don't know my husband. Well, it's not a matter of knowing your husband. It's a matter of knowing what the Bible says. And if you can't do it for your husband's sake, do it for Christ's sake. And the same with men loving their wives and being the loving leader and the head of the house. You do it for Christ's sake. That's why I said, whatsoever you do, do it heartily. Now notice, go back to Colossians 2. I guess you're still there. Look at Colossians 3 again. Colossians 3:23. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. For he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons. You see, there's a reason for serving the Lord. There's a finish line out there, folks. And he that striveth for the masteries is not crowned, except he strive lawfully. There was a song that was sung many years ago by Frank Sinatra and then recorded by Elvis Presley later, and I always loved the song, but the message is not very good. The song was, I did it my way. I did it my way. You see, the Bible says there's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof is the way of death. God has a plan. There's preparation for service. Study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman needs not to be ashamed. There's performance. That workman. That serving the Lord. And then there's the means that we do that. He said, rightly dividing the word of truth. You see, if you get your instructions, you're not going to perform in a manner that is pleasing. If you get your instructions in the wrong place, I should say, you're not going to perform in a manner that's pleasing to the Lord. Everybody that works a job, they have their specific job to do. You listen to the instructions of somebody else and try to apply them to your job, it's going to end up in confusion. So we rightly divide the word of truth so that we operate under the proper set of instructions and we do what God wants us to do. There's the proper means. And then there's the prize that we just read about there in Colossians chapter 3. Listen, folks, serving the Lord goes far beyond coming to church, giving your money, preaching and teaching, and being faithful on Sunday morning, Sunday night, or whenever we meet. Serving the Lord, this is where you come to prepare for the service. Serving the Lord is out there in what you do every day of your life. And it includes opening your mouth and making known the truth. But you see, it goes even beyond that. All the areas of your life, young people, adults, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. Make all men see what's the fellowship of the mystery. Preach the gospel to people. Do it for Christ's sake. Do it because He said to do it, not because it feels good, not because it seems good. Do it for Christ's sake. But remember also that serving the Lord goes to all of the things that we're instructed to do in relation to fathers, mothers, children, and on it goes. That's what serving the Lord is. It's being obedient to His Word. And you know what? You can't do that unless you know it. Thus, He said, study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, doing the work in a manner that's acceptable to God, so that in the end you receive the reward. Not the reward of the inheritance in the sense of gaining the inheritance, but the reward that's associated with the inheritance. That's what serving the Lord is. And it includes preaching to people the truth of how they're saved. You know, if you've never been saved, none of this really matters. Because you can try to serve the Lord, you can try to perform and do. And a lot of times people do that. A lot of times people get involved in trying to serve the Lord in order to prove to themselves or other people that they are saved. But the truth is that salvation is trusting in what Christ did for you at Calvary. When He died for your sins, was buried and rose again the third day. Once you are saved, then you can serve the Lord. It doesn't make any difference what you're doing in relation to religion. If you're not saved, it is not service for the Lord. It's for some other reason. It might be well intended, but the only people that are serving the Lord are those that are blood-bought, saved Christians that have trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior, members of the body of Christ. If you've never trusted Christ, why don't you do that right now? Why don't you realize and understand that Christ died for your sins? He's buried, rose again. And it's through that gospel, simply by trusting in what Christ did at Calvary, that you can be saved and become that servant of God and become pleasing unto Him. Would you stand with us for prayer?